Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for round 13, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has parted ways with the Big Freeze organisation. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Times, as we come to you on the first ever King's Birthday Weekend Junk Time edition. I feel honoured.
Mate, it's actually kind of weird saying the King's Birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right. Like, no. You get it, like if you're playing a game for the Queen, you're like, oh yeah, I'm sure she doesn't give a flying fuck, but we've just grown up knowing it. And now you're playing a game for King Charles and you're like, really? Are we doing this for that fuckhead?
Well, because the Queen was a massive footy head. Like, she came out to Australia and she watched a game being played, and she also was very strong on her super coach.
Mate, she loved it. I remember her being in the the enclosure, the zoo enclosure at Moorabbin.
Yep.
She got asked to leave on several occasions. If people were dropping in the hole, she let everyone know about it.
Well, they did talk about it as well. Like, you remember when, she got around different fans and the like, but you know how, like, the old people behind the goal was, like, Plugger tried to kill them one day. Like, there was another old person next to them as well. And people forget that was the Queen.
Yeah. And she had several people, you never saw them again after that incident, but that's just the kind of power and the reach that she had.
And remember that time when she did a regional tour with Ricky Nixon and Warwick Capa? That was a good show. She loved her footy.
It was a fun thing she did. So we're here, obviously the Big Freeze MND, the Neil Danaher and Beck Danaher doing the rounds, and they have the big slide at the MCG, and I was a part of that. They asked me to help organise it all this year because, you know, this is the ninth year. They've done a lot. They've done it the hard way over the last few years, particularly with COVID, and they were just like, fuck, Rosie, we're running out of people, and it's just getting harder and harder.
Make it an event. Now, I mean, they've been to our live shows. They've seen the spectacular that we put on, you know, with the fire and brimstone, the entertaining light shows that we do, and they said, Rosie, we want you to be at a packed MCG, make this the showcase of the day. And you said, I'm the man for the job. And you took that gig.
I did take that gig. So I went for the big guns. I got Mick Fanning. I got Eric Banner. Sure, he will never do one of our podcasts, our live ones. No, Come on, Eric, just fucking join us, mate. We've asked you every fucking year. How about you come and do something for us, you motherfucker?
We get the nose very quickly. I'm his assistant.
So we had Michelle Payne. There was Taylor Harris was there. Jason Dunstall went down. There were a few Tony Shaw. So there were quite a few. And I was like, I got these big names. I was like, fantastic. And so on the morning of, obviously you got to set up the bath and the slide, and they do it in the Shane Warne stand there. And I was like, I'll take care of all that. It turns out that they use in the bath, and I only found this out today, they use frozen water. Now, like, you know, when you freeze water and it becomes ice. Now, I just assumed that they were sliding into methamphetamine. So this year, most of the donations, when people bought a beanie or donated at any Coles or Woolworths, went to the $1.8 million it cost me to fill that pool.
They've said to you, we want it full to the brim with ice.
Yeah.
And they probably thought, oh, that's going to be a tough job for Rosie. He's got to be lugging around all these 5 kilo bags of ice. But when you got told you need to get an enormous, like, Colombian-style shipment of ice, they were actually, I actually heard from the organisers, they were actually surprised how quickly you said, yeah, not a problem.
Mate, I've got people coming over from Perth pretty much 24 hours a day. So whenever you need a big shipment, it's coming there. So it turns out that you're not allowed to do that. And obviously you shouldn't be using the MND funds to purchase goods like that. And I said, hey, don't worry, I've got you covered. Luckily, it's a Collingwood game. So I was able to flip that bathtub of ice for $3.6 million. And therefore, MND, mate, there's going to be a cure within a couple of months with the money that we raised from that bath.
They've actually shut down the big freezer. Can we raise all the money? We don't need it.
Yeah, yeah, we've reached our limit. This is what we wanted to do. Thank you, Rosie. And also, just don't go near any Collingwood supporters if you're around on this Monday night.
Yeah, sure, sure. Actually, it's one of the highlights of the year, I reckon, the big freeze. I actually really, really enjoy it.
I mean, they do build it up quite well. Everyone gets in sort of involved. The only thing about it, right, and this is, it's a fantastic thing, but there's kind of no exciting element beyond the unveiling and then the reaction when they get in the pool. Like, it's just the slide's always the same. There needs to be a different slide. They need to just drop people in it. You know, just let's make it a little bit different in the entry to the pool, perhaps.
Okay, so make it a bit maybe more of a complicated slide, like you do a loop-the-loop or something, or you...
Like, it comes off the top of the Shane Warne stand.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. Gets more creative each year, sure.
Yeah, there's a few loops that goes around. Maybe you zip line into a pool one year. You know, just let's, you know, maybe there's a swim up, there's a bar at the end of the pool.
Okay, that'll get people involved.
So, you know, I believe Mick Fanning was first down. So not only do you go into an ice bath, but you have to wait it out as the other 8 or 9 sliders come down. And by the end, I mean, he's in a foil blanket. You know, there's even more fun as you go, who gets hypothermia first?
Well, then also could be a fact of like, okay, you say you're willing to just slide into a pool for a few seconds. You know, you get in, you get out very quickly, but how committed are you to the cause? Okay. So then it becomes an incentive, like the last one to get out. Maybe that could be it as well. You all get in, freezing cold pool, and the last one gets out, has to actually go up to Neil Danaher and admit they've failed to his face.
Okay, here's a bit of a flip on it. So for the last 9 years, we've had freeze MND because we want to stop it. How about we boil MND? So you're at the top of the slide, the water is fucking red hot. Yep. Like, it is bubbling away and you're like, oh God, this is going to be great. And then you'll see more creative costumes of people who don't want to lose 3 or 4 layers of skin as they come off. Imagine the post, you know, the post-pool interview as someone's like face is peeling off.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen the St. John's ambulance people at the footy. Like, those 14-year-olds look like they know how to do a skin graft.
I mean, I don't know how much work would the burns unit have across our winter. And I just think they're sitting there. We've got state-of-the-art technology in all our burns units. Let's give them a fucking run.
Question with that notice, if you had to go down, I'll limit to you as in the costume, and you had to go as a player, who would you go as?
Oh, God, as a player. That is a great question. Maybe I'd go... you know what? I'd love to go down as Plugger. I reckon that'd be fun because you could kind of... As you went down, you know what would be great is as you went down, like, I don't know how you do this with a chemical reaction. So you go down as like Jumbo Plugger in St Kilda gear, and then you come back out as really fucking rake thin Plugger as he is right now.
Yeah, sure. You go down as like regular part. Maybe like you wear like a sumo suit, like, but it's filled with air. And so halfway down, you can kind of pop it. And then once you come out of the water, you're back to to regular Plugger that we know and love today.
Or do I go down as Ricky Nixon? Mm-hmm. So I'm dressed as a croissant from the bakery underneath his house.
Okay, people get that. Yep.
Yeah. And as I come out of the pool, I give you a vaccination that you haven't asked for.
Sure, sure. And you go down, instead of on the sleigh, you go down on a Melbourne tram.
Yes, that's right. But you've run into the back off.
I think I'd have to go Dermy. I think that would have to be my one.
Yeah, okay. That's a bit of fun.
Yeah, and proper like 1988 kind of big curly hair, perm Dermy.
And just as you're about to go, you just fucking, you give Neil a bit of a fucking snipery hit on the way through and down you go.
Well, I was thinking more maybe I kind of, as I go down, I come back up and like, oh, I've really injured the groin there, if you know what I mean.
Now, you were at the MCG across this fantastic weekend of football, except for last night, which we won't talk about.
I was there. I actually got to go to the last game I can go to in Melbourne before I head back to Sin City.
Like Carter Studios.
And I know that we have a Giants game that I can go to, I think in early July. So I went down with my dad and my nieces. Actually, a couple of things. I went down into the museum, actually.
Oh,
Does your part of the ground have a museum, Adam? But it's actually cool. I actually haven't been there. I actually went there a few weeks ago. It's not a place I really regularly go. It's not massive. It's got quite a large Melbourne section. And actually what was actually interesting, because there was kind of fake, well, not fake, but like newspaper headlines, kind of as they have out the front of, you know, news agents, kind of saying Hawthorn Melbourne merger. And my niece was generally fascinated by that. She's like, what? I didn't know about any kind of mergers. So I was like, oh, yeah. And I sent her a clip of...
How have you not bored her to death about the Hawthorn Melbourne merger of 1996?
Well, it was actually kind of interesting. I kind of typed it into YouTube and kind of sent her the link to go and watch a few things. But, and I mean, my memory of it at the time was like, it was the Don Scott, you know, if every Hawthorn supporter gave $200, we can get to that 4 million tally that I think we were in debt. And I do remember going down to Linda Crescent over the road from Glenfree Oval and going into the social club. And what was I at that time? 18? Yep. And handing over my $200 that I'd earned in the bottle shop. And there was a bunch of kind of little old ladies kind of counting the money and going down to the pokey machine downstairs and coming back with less. but I remember one of the ladies, she was like, we're going to fight this. We are going to fight this and we're going to win. And I remember going to the it was a rally before the merger match.
Love a rally.
I'm getting all the wrong press for them of late in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went down to a rally at Glenferrie before the merger match. And so Don Scott spoke at that and Dermy spoke at that and he got kind of quite the ovation that he actually got a bit teary kind of going because that was kind of his homecoming to Hawthorn after going to the Swans and Collingwood. So that would have been the year after he retired.
So how did Collingwood like fall apart? Hawthorn fall apart? Like you're 5 years away from a premiership by that stage.
Yeah.
Well, Melbourne obviously hadn't won anything for a long time, yeah, yeah. But how did Hawthorn just not, turn those that dominant 80s.
That's a very good question.
90s.
I don't think we ever got the attendance of like a Carlton and a Collingwood, and then it could also be. I don't have any authority on this whatsoever, but it could have also been maybe they didn't have a great deal at Princess Park, saying they were a co-tenant. And therefore,
that doesn't sound like something. I can't believe the Carlton would try and shaft anyone that can. We wrap our arms around everyone else.
To think,
like when we tried to merge with North Melbourne.
To think of the high upstanding leader you had at the club at the time.
Yes. I just can't believe you would have got a shit deal. So what else was in the...
Also on top of that, we didn't have any members. So I think it was okay. Only then when mergers like that were beginning to happen that people actually realised, oh, you have to be a merger if you want to kind of, you know,
a member, yes. Yeah. It's an interesting thing, though, because I remember they never talked about membership numbers the way they do now.
Never.
And it wasn't as critical, I think, to be a member the way it is marketed now as well.
I reckon if you went down to a lot of Hawthorn fans and you, because they give you a scarf where they put the number of how many years in a row you've been a member, I reckon if you went around to a whole bunch of Hawthorn fans who were my age or, you know, around about my vintage, there'd be a lot of people who would be, their first membership was 1996
90s.
And 97.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And anything else in the museum that caught your eye?
They had a premiership cup from Melbourne, which I'm going to presume is real. I know they have them in the office over the other side of the building where Melbourne's offices are. But yep. There was an old timer on a frame who is one of the museum guides. And it's not a guide as such by the fact that it's, you know, a small place, but he can give you info. And he was talking about the test championship. He wanted to know the overnight score.
Oh, okay.
And so I got out my phone and I was like, oh yeah, took him through this and he wanted to know what Steve Smith.
Hang on, what time is this that you're in there? It's like midday.
About 3 PM, yeah. Like so the cricket would have finished what, like 2 AM, 3 AM?
Yeah. So the old fuck hasn't asked anyone else before that time.
Well, look, he was on a frame. He could barely look up and I'm gonna presume he's not jumping on the World Wide Web very often.
Okay.
So I took him through that and then they've got a picture and off the back of the Comedy Festival show I did this year. So I saw this picture a lot and there's a portrait of Tom Wills and I don't know if it's original but it's like a picture that comes up a lot when I was doing research on him. And so I was just talking to, actually, I took my nieces through the story of the first game played over 3 days and their eyes glazed over very quickly. And then
as did many people in your audience when I came and saw it.
And then I was talking to the old timer and I was like, oh yeah, you know, Tom Wills And I talked to him for a little bit. And he actually, I tell you what, actually, he actually talked about the founding document of the rules. Like, he actually talked about that a bit like the founding fathers. Like, he was like, for those people to write down those rules to create a game like that. And I was a bit like, well, mate, in the original rules, you couldn't actually pick the ball up off the ground. So let's not get too excited. But then I thought...
Well, so it sounds like he was there.
And then I thought I'd throw in a fact, which I had in the show, I think, and that I actually haven't verified, but it's from Wikipedia. So, but the first Brownlow medalist was the grandson. So Kaji Greaves was the grandson of a woman that Tom Wheels was engaged to for a time.
Right.
And so I kind of was like talking to the old time, and I was like, I'm going to wow him here. I'm going to wow him. And so I dropped in that little fact, and he's gone, oh, I hadn't heard that before. I hadn't heard that. And then it became very apparent that he didn't want to talk to me anymore because I was a weird guy. He was like, okay, I got stuff to do, mate. I got stuff to do.
So you went up to the MCG into your you don't have reserve seats in the MCC, do you? But you just wandered in there and you saw a fucking amazing victory for a side that's tanking.
I know, for a team that's tanking. So what have we done? We beat St Kilda, we beat North, we beat Eagles, we beat Bears now. But and not a shit crowd, 35,000 people, which I didn't think bad was an interstate team and like a team that had won four. But they're actually very impressive, actually. They were very impressive. But very strange by the fact that, you know, last week, you know, we're 100 points down at half time. And then this week we come out and we're very competitive for the whole game and then win it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's fucking hell. I mean, and you're 2 points behind Carlton.
I know, mate. That final eight. Final eight is not looking fantastic. Now, a friend put this to me the other day. Is it just Carlton's kicking? Like, they were like, I actually don't think Carlton's that bad. It's just they're kicking for goal.
I mean, I couldn't watch last night because it was so frustrating, but apparently they kicked 2-5 in the second quarter when they could have not put Essendon away, but at least got themselves, you know, 3 or 4 goals clear, and they didn't.
Yep.
They did that against Sydney. Harry Mackay has become more of a laughingstock than Levi Casbolt ever was.
Yeah, sure.
And we just can't. They actually cannot hit a target by hand or by foot, which I think for some reason really brings you undone when you're playing football.
Oh, like when a game where the idea is that you kick the ball to a player on your team and they catch it and they don't have it go over their head or grub on the ground.
Yes.
Now, I saw something during the week that other teams were thinking that you guys don't really have a discernible game plan, so therefore you kind of ease the combat. Do you find that? Are you a game plan watch it? Like, to me, unless it's like we've got the whole team in the back half, in the back 50 for the entire game, I go, oh, they're flooding. But I'm not reading the play like that.
Oh, I think you want to see that your team can defend, which Carlton have proven. Their defence has been okay this year. We just haven't scored.
Yeah.
But the ability to go from like, so say you're coming out, you're kicking out from full back.
Mm-hmm.
Our ability to go coast to coast is just non-existent. Yeah. Whereas other teams easily do that against us. And watch... Every other team in the comp has the ability to do it, but we don't because we miss targets. It goes over people's heads. It's out in the full, and you just like fucking give up. Anyway, back to you at the MCG, in the MCC.
Well, I found something quite interesting. I took a photo of it, actually, because I'd never seen it before. Having said that, I've been living in Sydney for a long time now, so I haven't, you know, not like I'm at the MCG every second week. But there was one TV screen I found, and not in a very... thoroughfare walkway, like a bit of a kind of pretty much on the half forward flank. If you're watching TV on the left hand side in the half forward flank, roughly around about there. And so you'd really only be going that way if you were going to be crossing over into the outer or something, you know, like
The outer.
Yeah, and then you got to go through various checkpoints.
Checkpoints, yeah, absolutely.
And then they give you a fake name and a fake job, and they go, "This is how much you want? Like, this is what you earn?
You want to go out there, mate?
Really? No, you can't go in there with that much money." And so it was a wall that said to find the shortest lines. So it has like all the kind of shops, like the food and the bar, and then they have a little color coding, so. If it's green, then it's light, like you can go in there and you won't wait too long. Then medium and then heavy. So I'm looking here. This would have been half time. No, this would have been about three quarter time, I reckon. So it's looking pretty good. It's all pretty much green.
Yes, there's not many waits at any of the bars there. But also too, what I love about it is it's an app that you can download to your phone. So you can be sitting in your seat and be like, oh, I might go to the Terrace Bar or the Frank Gray Smith Bar and Snacks.
Okay.
And you look at your phone and you go, well, I'm not going now. I'll just wait 3 minutes when this turns to green. But also too, everyone who goes out to get a drink at quarter, half and three quarter time is beyond stupid. Like everyone knows you go in the middle of a quarter to get your drink.
Yeah.
You load up and then you're covered. You don't have to wait in line. There is no red.
I'm actually downloading the MCG app right now. So maybe that might download and I can see what they have to offer. But I've never seen that before, a screen telling me what lines. And also, I don't know, how often do you think you use it? Do you go like, okay, am I really going to go up to level 4 just to wait like 2 minutes quicker to get some hot chips?
I mean, probably not. You do wonder, like, say it was a Melbourne v... Say it was today.
Like today, yeah.
Today, yeah. I don't think you're looking at that going, oh, I probably won't get a beer because it's red. You're like, I'll just get 6 beers while I'm there.
Okay, I've downloaded the MCG app. I'm trying to open it.
Yeah.
Okay, it shat itself. Oh, here it is. It's quite a nice picture. I'm going to choose my team. Okay, that might take a while.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do this live.
I've got to give a login. I've got to give my password, okay? Yeah. My password for everything is... Hey, it's not chock-a-block full of news this week, actually. And I think that's...
No, it's been pretty quiet.
I think it's out of respect for the king, actually.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. Charles doesn't want a chock-a-block week.
Yeah, sure. And also, like, he's on that kind of time delay, too. So, like, you know, he wakes up and the game's being played. So he kind of has to watch it, you know, on his own schedule. So a bit disrespectful to... Because he's a big listener as well, obviously.
Loves it.
Yeah. He's got one of our Gatorade Bukkake Time stubby holders, which you can buy at Big Cartel. Yeah. Here's one from Jack. I've got a football in real life, a football story you might find amusing.
Great.
I was at a cafe opposite Mineral Resource Park catching up with a mate on a very wet Western Australian day when I saw a man with neck tattoo strutting towards the cafe we were in.
Have you ever been in Perth when it's rained? I have never seen rain in Perth.
That is actually a very good question. I do not believe that I have seen rain in Perth.
Now, I'm mostly over there. The times that I've been there has been, you know, January, February for like comedy festivals and stuff like that. I've never been over there in the depths of winter, but I have never seen rain in Perth.
And just to clarify, Mineral Resource Park is the name.
That's the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say it's the name for the whole of Western Australia. The male was none other than West Coast Eagle midfielder Tim Kelly. He was wearing a fashionable tan jumper, grey tracksuit shorts, and was speaking into a rose gold iPhone. Okay, rose gold.
Nice.
With an agitated expression. As we left the cafe, I could see him waiting patiently for his coffee, still with an expression of someone traded from Geelong to West Coast, in brackets, frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, he went there just after they won the flag. So in his mind, he'd be like, fucking party time here.
Yeah, yeah.
Geelong are on the way out. West Coast on the way up. Here we go.
The nightmare. I feel for those players. Like, I mean, but then you think about the, say, like a Ben Brown, who kind of went from a North to a Melbourne 1 year, got the flag. Took a haircut, but.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Brett Deledio.
Ah, Lids, mate. You know. Don't I know Lids too well, mate.
You
see him down the road using a leaf blower on a Saturday. Come on, Lids, mate. Yeah. You're better than that. Unfortunately, I was at the appalling display of football at the MCG this Friday night between Carlton and Melbourne. So last week, yeah. During the second quarter, I noticed... Oh, actually, is this a new letter?
No, this is still from Nick. From Jack.
During the second quarter, I noticed a blue tarp on the second level of the MCG. At first...
MCC.
I at first assumed it was a symbolic protest by fans who couldn't bear to watch anymore. But on a second glance, I could see paramedics were trying to assist someone. With the tarp being similar to the one used at the races for injured horses, I assumed soon there would be a large bang signaling Adam's name moving up another spot in the MCC waiting list, but it never came.
Shame.
Eventually, the patron was helped up the stairs by police and paramedics. A happy ending for everyone but Adam, whose name on the MCC waiting list still lingers. I'm trying to look at this. Why would they get the tarp out?
Yeah, I must say I've never seen that at the football. But also it just makes it – it's almost like – I don't know if you ever watched in the NFL, they have like a blue medical tent that they take an injured player into on the sideline so no one can see. And it kind of looks like that, just a pop-up tent. But you know what? If I was – if that happened in front of me, you'd just instantly just be like, fucking down in front!
Yeah, sure. Whatever, mate. Quadruple bypass. Who cares? Yeah, it's close.
Die on your own time, dickhead.
Now, when you say in the NFL they have a tent, now is that like a rule or is that a thing that like a team brought in and all the other teams have thought, oh, okay, let's do that too?
Excellent NFL question without notice. I think it's a blanket rule that they first go in there to get checked and then they'll probably get taken to the locker room if they think it's more serious.
Yeah, sure. So they bring them into the tent. They've got Dr. Nick. They've got concussion. Dr. Nick is going, nah, you're very fine. Go out and play.
Yes, exactly. Go back out there. We need you.
We don't ask questions. From Sean, offering a coffee.
Ordering a coffee.
Ordering a coffee and in Lathe Lane. Over the road from famous, hey, we're back there, famous Mineral Resources Park. Saw a number of Eagles players, staff in their full yucky blue tracksuits. Recognisable faces include Mark Nikoski, Drew Petrie, Tim Kelly. So Petrie got a coaching role there now, right? Is that right?
Yes, and obviously Nikoski Musk as well.
TK pretended to take a phone call as I walked past him in admiration. Nikoski and Petrie were both looking very good for last players. Past players, I imagine, and could probably still get a game in the current team. The rest of the people in their Eagles kit looked way too happy for how shit they are going.
I agree with that from Sean. Like, if I see any Carlton player this week smiling, I will be fucking ropeable. They should be as miserable as I have been for the last 20 years.
Sure. So if you see, like, on Instagram, like, a Carlton player going, happy to welcome little Adrian into the world. Yeah, mum and bub doing great, and they're smiling.
Don't give a fuck.
You're just like, mate, what? You are fucking draining.
I tell you what is great at the moment. The only saving grace is so you know after a loss, right? Like a bad loss, and your team's going badly. You just want your social media team to just shut the fuck up, right? Oh, I don't want to see a good tackle happen in the first quarter. No one cares. But they posted one of Mitch McGovern with his two babies, I think.
Okay.
Before the game, and they posted that, and then just reading the comments, that many Carlton fans felt that they needed to. So anyone, if anyone out there is feeling bad about themselves during this week, just jump on the Carlton Footy Club's social media and have a look at the comments, and you will feel so much better about your life.
So can you give me an idea of a vague idea of what they were like? Were they attacking?
They're attacking McGovern, just calling him weak and saying they should have put the kids out there and all this kind of stuff. Like, yeah. So.
Oh, my God. People are...
just your regular fun.
Fucking
you know,
hell.
Putting someone down stuff.
Dude. Have you ever tweeted a footballer?
I don't reckon I have.
No. I don't think... I think I probably retweeted like a bit of Hawthorne stuff, like in terms of like stuff from their social media. But I've never... I mean, I've never do that anyway. Like send a direct thing to...
not a sledge. You might be like, hey, great 300th game or whatever.
Yeah, it could just be like, you know, it's me going, hey, Phil Davis, you know, like your hair.
Or you saying, hey, buddy, congratulations. And he's like, mate, the AVO has not been lifted, like I told you.
Hey, buddy, out the front, ringing the doorbell. Can't seem to get in. Only way I can contact you, through my burner account. From Tommy, football in real life for you. I flew down to Sydney to go to the Saints and Swans game. Watch the Sainters absolutely towel up that disgusting mob of rich private school Range Rover driving boys of Sydney.
Bang.
On arriving at the airport the afternoon after the game, curbside at the drop-off as I got out of my cab, doing very well, emerging in front of me was Callum Wilkie, the brick wall fullback for St Kilda. I threw out a big, yeah, Cal. He turned around, head down and sped up, head down and sped up. But he was no match for my rundown harassment. Told him I loved him. Got the photo and dispersed.
Fantastic. That is great. And I love it when a player, because he's just spotted like a Nuffy fan and just going, oh, I don't want to borrow this. Yep. And they've tried to get away. But you're like, nah, mate. nah.
You're not getting away. And then you kind of go, the player's also thinking, are you going to be sitting next to me on the plane? That is my worst nightmare. From Ben, football in real life. A few years ago, me and a couple of friends went to Westgarth Cinema to see Rocket Man, a movie about Elton John. We take our seats and notice Brody Grundy sitting in the front, in the row in front of us. My friend had purchased a cheese board from the candy bar. He was doing very well for himself.
Well, look at you, Westgarth Cinema.
Which contained a variety of cheeses, including a blue cheese that stunk up the whole cinema. Furious about that.
Hey, can't be doing that.
Two or three times throughout the movie, Brody Grundy turned around and looked at us, trying to work out where that awful smell was coming from. That is, I find when I go to my local cinema, I find if they need to be more discerning about the smell of their cheese.
You are big on that. You're more of a cheddar man, aren't you?
Now, I actually am curious about that. Okay, Brody. Okay, Rocket Man. I don't know, man. I reckon... I don't know if that was Brody's choice. I feel like that's maybe slightly beneath Brody by the fact... You know those movie biopics? You're not going to get the real deal. Like...
So are you thinking he's more seeing a an avant-garde,
yeah, for sure,
like French foreign film at Nova,
yeah, like a Melbourne. Wes Anderson kind of thing, like yeah, you know, okay. like yeah. you know, something with subtitles. I reckon that's Brody's kind of modus operandi. Yeah, so I reckon Rocket Man is a bit too broad for Brody, because especially if they, I don't know if Elton John did, but if he kind of approved it, then you know you're not getting the real deal, are you?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I hear. And also, I don't want to be stuck behind Brody Grundy and that man bun.
That's a really good point.
Fucking 6'8".
Yeah. It's like, dude.
Get to the back, Grundy, yeah. you fucking idiot.
Back row, mate. Take your, take your fucking cheese with you too. although, actually, that would fit with Grody. And I reckon he's turning around smelling it and going,
true.
Where could I have got it? I should have got I should have got the cheese, but I made a horrible mistake.
Yeah, he's like, fucking hell, I'm halfway through my choc top, but fuck, I wish I got some quince paste with some blue cheese.
I already don't want to see Rocket Man. I've been forced to do that, and now I can't do what I do best, and that's just devour a cheese board on a leisurely night.
Yeah, he's just thinking all the way through it. There's, you know, Elton John's talking about how he wrote Yellow Brick Road, and he's just like, man, I could go some cornichons.
And not a footballer in real life, but from Jared. So a bit ago, we talked about how King Tut's putt-putt had moved from the Gold Coast down to a go-kart venue
centre,
in Dandenong in Melbourne. And we immediately thought, well, that's a clear correlation. There's they've perfectly suited each other, and there's nothing strange about buying. No. A bankrupt Egyptian-themed putt-putt building, and then moving all of his assets down to the forestry of Dandenong.
Well, no. It'll be like when, what's his name, whatever, Carter discovered Tutankhamun's tomb. Uh-huh. So it'll just be like that and putting it on display. It's like someone has gone to the Gold Coast, discovered these riches.
Yep.
And just gone, really, you got no money. We'll bring them down and we'll show them off to the children of Dandenong. So these kids are learning whilst learning about history, whilst also learning how to putt around a windmill.
You know, I actually feel bad. Like, this actually might create a bit of tension between Victoria and Queensland, a bit like, you know, how the British Museum's in trouble from all these different countries. They won't return the items they stole. And so I feel like one day... You know, it's going to kind of create a very great deal of tension between Queensland and Victoria, where they're like, well, technically, the King Tut's putt-putt mini golf course belongs to the good people of Queensland.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nightmare. That's worst case scenario. A war between Queensland and Victoria over a putt-putt. But from Jared, thanks for the tip. I love playing this course on the Gold Coast. They have heavily invested. They invested heavily in this Dandenong version. We won't be going back in a hurry, though. Two players, 18 holes, $48. Who's doing that well anymore?
Oh, yeah, but I reckon, Jared, I know, I appreciate that you think it's a lot of money, but for the cultural experience that one gets, I'd say you're probably playing unders, to be honest, for only $24 for a round of 18. That's what, $1.25 per hole? I mean, come on, Jared. That's a fucking bargain, mate.
Yeah.
We appreciate you writing in, but if you're going to come up with waffle like that, buddy,
yeah,
just fucking pull your head in, mate.
Well, right? I mean...
I'm sorry to leave this podcast on a sour note, but that is fucking absolutely absurd.
Well, I mean, it's a bit different, though, by the fact it's... 48 for two people for 18 holes. But then also, on top of that, it's the extra $20,000 because when you get back to the car park...